بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 26th of February in the year 2018 الحمد لله to spend one more session taking a glimpse into the status of our exalted and unparalleled messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us take a look or a few of the examples in which some of the amazing miracles occurred at his blessed hands. So this narration is recorded by Hafiz al-Ajuri rahmatullah alayh in his Ash-Shari'ah, number 1048. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayh states Sahih in As-Sahihah, number 1977. Sayyidina Thawban, the freed servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he relates. A guest from the Bedouins came to us. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat with him in front of his dwelling. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then started asking the man about the people's happiness with Islam and Salah. The man continued to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam good news until I saw the Holy Prophet's face glowing. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So stop in the report. So the narrator of the hadith is Sayyidina Thawban radiyallahu. He is the freed servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a high status. Why? Because a freed servant becomes part of the family. So any freed servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes Ahlul Bayt. So Sayyidina Thawban, due to the fact he became a freed servant, just like Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu, he becomes part of the Ahlul Bayt radiyallahu. So he's narrating. And he's saying that this Bedouin, we call them milman, a guest. But the Prophet is actually sitting outside his dwelling and he's talking to him, asking him about the condition of the people. Are they happy with Islam? How is their salat? So the Bedouin gives him good news and the Prophet smiles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when midday approached and it became time to eat, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called me, Thawban radiyallahu anhu. And he quietly told me, go to the house of Aisha radiyallahu anha and inform her that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a guest. So I went. Upon arrival, she radiyallahu anha said, by the one who has sent you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and the true religion, we do not have anything in our home for someone to eat. Subhanallah. So stop in the report. So obviously a guest has got rights. And one of the rights of the guest is that you look after him for one day and one night. 3 days is sunnah. So immediately the Prophet sallallahu very quietly, look at his adab, he didn't want to make the guest feel uncomfortable. He quietly said to Thawban, go to Aisha radiyallahu anha, ask if there's any food. But Sayyidah Aisha said, there's nothing. Imagine, in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sent me, Thawban, to his other wives, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they all said, as Aisha radiyallahu anha said. I then noticed the face of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned gloomy. So look how austere a life he was living sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all of his sacred chambers, the hujarat of the Ummul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, there was no food at all. And he couldn't give anything to the guest. The Bedouin man, he was intelligent and he realized what was happening. And thus he said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we the people of the desert are used to difficult times, unlike the people of the cities. One of us is sufficed by a few dates and a small drink of milk, and that is the best meal for us. Subhanallah. So the Bedouin, obviously the Prophet is being very discreet, but he realizes the Prophet wants to arrange something for him to eat. And he realizes the Prophet's got nothing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to make things easy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we are desert Arabs and we are not like the people of the city, because a few dates and a bit of milk, that's enough for us. We're happy with that. That's our best meal. So look at the adab now from the Bedouin, radiyallahu. When he said this, a goat called Tamra that was already milked passed by. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it by its name, saying, Tamra, Tamra. Thus it came to him, making a sound. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then took it by its leg and wiped its udder, saying, Bismillah, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, its udder immediately filled up with milk. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for a container, so I, Thawban, brought one to him, radiyallahu. He started milking it and said, Bismillah, and then filled a vessel with its milk. He thereupon said, pass it to him in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stop in the report. So the Bedouin said, all I'm happy with is a few dates and a bit of milk. So instantly, a goat passes by, and the goat is called Tamra. And the report says, it's already been milked. So there's nothing. So there's no milk at all in the goat. The Prophet calls it by the name and it comes. And it makes a kind of a sound, maybe acknowledging the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Holy Prophet wiped the udder and said Bismillah, the udder is filled with milk. Subhanallah. And he called for a container, Thawban says, and then he milked, and he said, in the name of Allah, and the vessel filled with milk. He then said, give it to the Bedouin, pass it to him. I gave the milk to the guest, and he drank a large amount, and then wanted to put it down. Upon which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him, keep drinking. Thus he drank again, until he wanted to put it down. Upon which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, keep drinking. He then drank until he literally could drink no more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then turned to the goat, milked it again, and said, Bismillah. Subhanallah, he then filled the container once more. So stop in the report. So now there's a bowl of milk. So obviously the Bedouin's probably very thirsty. He drinks. He realizes it's a miracle, so he wants all the blessings possible. So he drinks and he drinks. The milk's not running out. So the Prophet said, keep drinking, meaning more for the guest. So he forces himself to drink. He literally can't have any more. He goes, keep drinking. And the last bit of air he's got, he's finished with this. Then when he's given a bite to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Bismillah, on the udder of the goat, and again it fills with milk. He thereupon said, send this now to Aisha, O Thawban, that she may drink as much as she wants. I did as ordered, and I then returned to him. So same thing happened. We don't know the details. Our beloved mother, the Yalanka, drank. Imagine, she's probably not ate for a long time or drank. She drinks and drinks. He comes back. He then milked the goat again and said, Bismillah. Subhanallah, he then filled the container once more and he sent me to all of his wives. Radiyallahu ta'ala. Every time one of them drank, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send me to the next one, saying, Bismillah. He did this until they all sent the bowl back and I returned, said Thawban. Radiyallahu. He thereupon said, now give it to me. Thus I gave it to him, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for him to drink. He then gave it to me, and I, Thawban, drank from it a drink that was sweeter than honey and more fragrant than musk. He then supplicated, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless the owners regarding it. I, Tamra, the goat. So this is the full report. And this is a Sahih Hadith in As-Sahihah, number 1977. So now, this whole narrative doesn't mention one miracle. So many miracles took place in this narrative. So let's break it down. Firstly, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls Tamra. The goat immediately comes submissively. So this could be a miracle. You could argue the case, it might not be a miracle, but it probably was a miracle. Secondly, the udders filled with milk upon his stroking it, which is certainly a miracle. Thirdly, the Bedouin drinks to his absolute fill, which is a miracle. Fourthly, the udder then fills a total of 9 times consecutively for each of his wives. Imagine, radiallahu ta'ala. Fifthly, they all drank to their fill, with the last not affecting the amount of milk whatsoever. Sixthly, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon drinks and finally gives Thawban radiallahu anhu, who clearly mentioned, it tasted sweeter than honey and more fragrant than musk. It was milk. When you describe the taste of milk, you describe it like that. And seventh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a supplication for the owners of the blessed good, Tamra. So this narration, the scholars say, was an average day in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People say, well, you know, on an average day, what sort of things was happening? There you go. That's what was happening. So now, why was Thawban radiallahu anhu the last to drink? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who serves is the last to drink. So Thawban was obviously, look how obedient he was. He must have been thirsty. But even though he saw miracles, he didn't touch the milk. He was obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And eventually the Prophet goes, now you drink. And maybe he was given a bit more because of the description he gave of the taste. So note, miracles was on a daily occurrence with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narration is affectionately called the Hadith of Tamra. Tamra the goat. On the subject of goats, in Bayhaqi, in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah, number 1563, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in the campaign of Khaybar, and a shepherd came to him and embraced Islam. He thereupon asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what am I now to do with all these goats? They don't belong to me. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, throw little pebbles on their faces, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discharge your obligation on your behalf by returning all the goats to their respective dwellings. The shepherd did as instructed, and subhanallah, he was later informed that indeed every goat had returned to its owner. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Khaybar fell. Khaybar was a string of fortresses of the Jews, of the Bani Israel. So one of the shepherds of the fortresses embraced Islam. But look how noble he was. He didn't say, spoils of war. These goats are mine now. Like some people do now. Darul Kufr or Darul Harb. You can start robbing banks. Right? So he's got the goats. He goes, what shall I do with them, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, throw little pebbles. Look how strange the command. Throw little pebbles on their faces. Meaning just stroke them. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious Himself will direct them. So just picture that. So imagine goats, you know, how did they know their way back to their dwellings? He throws little pebbles, and obviously he doesn't follow them. He remains with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But later, he was informed they all had gone back to their owners. Imagine the owners, the Jews, where's the shepherd? The goats have come back. So this is a sign for them that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing a miracle. Subhanallah, just try to picture the amazing scene that as soon as the shepherd did as instructed, offset the goats, nothing harming them on the way until they have branched off themselves to reach their respective owners. If one of them had been killed, imagine by a wolf, they were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to the changing of the composition of water, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Isaba, number 9020, Sayyidina Hammam ibn Nufail radiyallahu, he once reported to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they had just dug a well, but it yielded only salty water. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then handed him a skin of water with instructions to empty the water in the well. When he did as instructed, subhanallah, the water of the well lost its saltiness, it became palatable. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So a particular companion, Sayyidina Hammam ibn Nufail, he said that they obviously water is greatly needed in the Arabian Peninsula. They dug a well, and they managed to get some water, but after all the effort, it was salty. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look how amazing. He gave him a bag of water in a leather skin. He could just pour that into the well. He goes, when I poured it, subhanAllah, it lost all its saltiness. So what's the miracle here? Note, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even have to be present for the miracle to take place. People say, did he spit into the well? Yes, he did. Did he put his hand? Yes, he did. He's not even present here. Imagine, he's given some water, take it. For maybe a few days, whatever. The water, he puts it, and the miracle takes place without him even being present. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consider also the following amazing miracle with regards to water. In Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 3494, Sayyidina Hiyan radiyallahu anhu, he relates, I once remained with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all night, and then called out the azan for Fajr the next morning. He thereupon handed over to me a utensil of water to perform wudu when the time of Salat arrived. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon placed his fingers in the water, and Allahu Akbar, I could see the water flowing from his fingers. He thereupon said, whoever wishes to perform wudu from here may do so. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Sayyidina Hayyan, he had spent the entire night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe he was his servant, or maybe he was doing a certain duty which was given to him. And then he called out the azan for the Fajr. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always, you know, he honored those who served him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave him some water, imagine, in a container. He goes, when the time of Salat arrives, do wudu. So obviously he thought, okay, this is just for me, the water. Well, then the Prophet ﷺ placed his fingers in the water. And then the report says, the water started coming out of his fingers. And then he says, whoever wishes to perform wudu, let him come now. Imagine the rush upon hearing of this awe-inspiring event to partake of such priceless blessings. So imagine. Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu, water's coming out of the Holy Prophet's fingers. They must have darted. Right? And imagine seeing what's happening. So they're just all queuing up. Where is this water coming from? They're doing wudu, probably did full wudu, maybe did a bit extra as well, just to get further blessings. Another miracle from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why, like I mentioned, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, when he was talking to George rahmatullahi alayhi, he goes, if you embrace Islam today, you're better than us. Because we had to embrace Islam. Because we saw things. And this is what they saw. Maybe on a daily occurrence. But that's what he was saying. Because we, for us not to embrace Islam, that was what was strange. But he goes, you're in a better position. And that's in Hayat al-Sahab. In another report it mentions, in Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 2108, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once having a meal. When Sayyidina Jarhad Aslami arrived, radiallahu anhu, he thus bade him, please join in my meal. And he did. However, due to his right hand being injured, he ate with his left. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then looked and said, eat with your right hand, O Jarhad. When Sayyidina Jarhad informed him of the injury, the Holy Prophet merely blew upon it, upon which it was instantly cured, and indeed never gave him any trouble until his inevitable death. SubhanAllah. So look how interesting. He's injured his hand, maybe from jihad or from another injury, and he realizes you've got to eat with the right hand. So he thought, I can't eat, Ya Rasulullah. So when he told him, the Prophet goes, show me your hand. And he just blew on it. And then imagine, the paralyzed hand. He's looking at his fingers thinking, what's happened? And he goes, he was perfectly healthy till he passed away. Consider also the following amazing report, in which Wail ibn Hujr radiyallahu anhu said, I once shook the Messenger of Allah's hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my hands remained fragrant for 3 days. This is in Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 17,536. Somebody gives you atar. Brother, come here, atar. Put atar in your hand. Even a couple of hours later, Islam Ismail your hand. And he goes, yeah, what are you smelling my hand for? And he goes, what's happened? I thought you put atar on. He goes, but I got atar, but it doesn't last for hours. If it does, it's one of those very, you know, rare days. Forget about days, brother. 3 days, this sahaba said, I could smell the fragrance of my own hands. And I shook his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't forget, he did wudu, possibly did ghusl. He was using his hands. He wasn't just sitting by doing nothing. And yet the fragrance wouldn't go from his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consider also the following. In Abu Nu'aym in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, number 384, Sayyidina Habib ibn Fawaik, radiyallahu anhu, he said, my father was once taken to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his eyes had become completely white and he was unable to see anything. He was completely blind. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inquired the reason why he is blind, he said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was busy taming a camel when my leg fell on a snake's egg upon which I was bitten, causing me to go blind. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereupon took some of his blessed saliva on his eyes and placed it on his eyes. Allahu Akbar, my father was able to see instantly. Indeed, I saw him thereafter thread a needle at the age of 80, even though his eyes were still white. So let's look at this. So this particular companion, he'd become blind, not through natural causes. It was an accident. A snake bit him and it made him go blind. And it mentions his eyes went white, which is very graphic if you think of that. You know, his eyes literally, you can see probably grayness over his eyes. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he put his blessed saliva over his eyes, the white did not disappear. He still had gray eyes or white eyes, but he could see. So outwardly he looks the same. But then he says at the age of 80 his son goes, he could thread a needle. His eyes were still white. So this was the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So note, miracles after miracles. Thus, what a monumental and colossal loss when our beloved messenger left this mortal world, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even upon his passing, Allah Ta'ala left an endless blessing. What was that blessing? In Ibn Majah, number 1599, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in Sahih Al-Jami, number 7829. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she relates that her illustrious husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, whoever amongst the people or believers is stricken with a calamity, then let them console themselves with the loss of me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the calamity one faces with anyone else. For no one from my ummah will face a calamity worse than the calamity of my death. SubhanAllah. So in this Sahih Hadith in Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even with my passing, you will receive a huge and priceless blessing. And what is that priceless blessing? When you are going through a tribulation, a calamity, just simply remember my passing. And then the Hadith says, there is nothing worse for my ummah than my passing. Because this will comfort you. So look how amazing. Upon his passing, Allah Ta'ala has left an eternal blessing. Then people, and they're brutally honest, they say, well, I've applied this blessed hadith, but I still feel immense grief upon my own tribulation. And the response to that is, you don't know who the messenger is. Who were the ones who truly understood his loss? The companions. Radiyallahu ta'ala, the tabi'in. But this is indicating you should know who the messenger is. You go to Bole Bale and he goes, the Prophet passed away. He's not even listening. To him, it's like, yeah, so what do you want me to do? Right? He doesn't even realize what a monumental loss it is. For instance, the two sheikhs, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet left this world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to each other, let us go and see Ayman, his second mother, to console her. So they went, and when they came to Ayman radiyallahu anha, she was weeping. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma said, dear aunt, don't weep. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a better place. In other words, he's away from the troubles of the world. Because there's no need to weep. So Ayman radiallahu anha said, I know, i.e. that he is in a better place. But I am weeping because the divine revelation has stopped. Jibreel is now no longer descending with the revelation. And this caused Abu Bakr and Umar to weep. So what was Ayman highlighting? Yes, of course he's in Jannat al-Firdaus. But what have we lost? That was her understanding. She goes, look, we don't just, it's not just the Holy Prophet. We've lost everything with him. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We were guided by the Quran when we didn't know what to do. We were guided by the Sunnah when we didn't know what to do. We were guided by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of that has gone, including the miracles. Imagine now, you hear the reports, and even you start thinking, did this really happen? Right? The reason is because we don't see this. This is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked in Ibn Sa'ad and his Tabaqat, Hasan Hadith, why can't we be like yo? The Tabi'in asked Ali radiallahu anhu, is why can't we be like yo? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, hearing is not like seeing. Look how amazing. So a Sahaba told the Tabi'in, yo can't be like us, you can worship like us, but yo can't, not because of your efforts and your purity. It's because you didn't see. Didn't see what? All the things mentioned. So note, yes, it was a great and most awesome tribulation that the Prophet passed away. But from that, alhamdulillah, we've got this endless, priceless blessing. So all I mentioned today was basically a few blessed reports with regards to our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And note, whatever angle you discuss our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is truly a sign for one and all. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم